So, for many years, as part of the national survey, which I've been involved with really from the early 90s, I have hoped to be able to get a sufficient sample to look at American Indians and Alaskan Natives. And in our telephone surveys of 2000, 2005, and 2010, we oversampled the small population states, actually 13 of them. And I think because of that, actually, by pooling those data, ended up with sufficient numbers, barely sufficient, to actually get a national picture of AIANs. So that's what this is going to focus on, although it does actually include the other ethnic groups as well. So no relevant conflicts of interest, or perhaps even irrelevant ones, that I know of. I would mention these data are all collected with an IRB assurance, and the Center Grant is the main sponsor of this work through its national surveys. So a little background. So as you know, there are many health disparities that are quite serious with AIN groups. And here are some of them listed out. Number of physically unhealthy days, the homicide rates, which are highest in Hispanics and blacks, but still high in AIANs. And although in 2009 the suicide rates for AIANs were similar to those of non-Hispanic whites, the rates for adolescents and young people are much of concern. There's clearly major issues of poverty. There are issues of education. And then I think the unemployment is another major concern among American Indians and Alaskan Natives. So just to bring it to a focus, some of the conditions that are probably have high alcohol attributable fractions are things like unintentional injuries and diabetes. Extreme intoxication is well documented in these groups. Many of the studies have been done with selected populations, and there is some, but not as much work on a national level. And I would say at the end that one hypothesis has been that the cultural baggage and stereotyping and historical factors have really led to some of these kind of issues of heavy alcohol use. And of course we can attribute the majority culture, at least the Western expansion and so forth, with bringing a lot of the bad drinking practices with them and transmitting them, if you like. So there's been quite a bit of work on genetic risk factors, and some of the main differences seen have actually to do with protective factors and differences with the protective factors. And I would call your attention to one of my co-authors, Cindy Eller's work in this regard. And she really emphasizes that there are many of the environmental disadvantages and cultural, again, historical trauma and childhood trauma that, account for a good deal of differences, and genetics are probably thought to be bigger than they may be, in fact. So the national surveys have a highly detailed picture of drinking practices. I'm going to be focusing mostly on the maximum for a variety of reasons in looking at these analyses here. I'm going to pass over this slide, but it's available. There's a handout at the back in case you're interested. These are some of the ways we try to elicit an unbiased response by basically setting up the survey as a health survey and giving people a lot of, you know, required IRB information here. These three national surveys are all of them fairly large. They all included the oversamples, and the response rates are not too bad for telephone surveys, and we've done a fair amount of work on non-response and its possible effect, and as mentioned in Camilla's talk, some of the work we did in transitioning from face-to-face suggests that the impacts aren't terribly bad. American Indians are distributed unevenly. This just gives a crude map by state of levels of AIANs, and it's very fuzzy. I'm sorry about that, but you can see at the bottom the numbers. We have 178 AIAN women and 171 AIAN men. Obviously, not very large numbers. The maximum, we looked at maximum, we looked at risky drinking, we looked also at alcohol dependence, and we looked at tangible consequences. This describes some of the details of those measures. By the way, as well as the handout at the back of the room, there's a handout available through APHA. I did upload this, so probably won't need to take many notes. So, descriptively, this is, you can see that there's high levels of current abstainers among the AIN group, similar actually to Hispanics and African Americans being a little higher actually. This doesn't break it out by gender, but they're much higher for women. And conversely, the opposite of that, are the current drinkers. That's just the inverse. We're going to do some separate work related to nativity in African American and Hispanic men, so I won't dwell on that here. So now when you look at the descriptive results in relation to some of the key variables here, the first one, the 24 plus maximum, which of course is very high, and this is within a year. So have you ever drunk 24 or more drinks on any day in the past year, in the past 12 months? The rates are quite elevated, but the numbers are such that it's not really significant. But I think it's meaningful, I would say. But you do see the significance coming up descriptively at the 12 plus level, and I should say that these are not exclusive. So 12 plus includes 24 plus, and 8 plus includes 12 plus and 24 plus. So, and at the 8 plus level, you can see again that AINs are quite considerably elevated there. So it's also true for Hispanics and for American Indian, Alaska Natives. In terms of the exceeding the daily limits and the weekly limits, more strikingly for the AINs. You see it also with the tangible consequences and dependent system symptoms. And this is basically across, you know, the board, in a sense, descriptively, the expected elevations are there. And if you look at the whole distribution of in this case, the levels on our graduated frequencies, one or two drinks, three or four, these are the maximums, up to 24. And for men and women, the men are elevated at the 5-plus level, which is interesting, and they're also elevated at this highest level. But the women primarily at the 8 to 11 and 12 to 23 levels. Here are some of the results once you include the sort of social determinants. And This includes a number of social determinants, of course, age, also marital status, divorced, separated, widowed, as well as married and treated separately and never married. And it also includes, although it's omitted in the table, education, employment, which are not significant for women, but for men, there is some significance, particularly with the education. And when you add these, you see that a number, this is focusing on the 12 plus, but the same is true of the others, that actually the effect for American Indians and Native Alaskans for men is non-significant. For women, it actually remains significant at the 12 plus level after these controls. Now, the next one actually includes family history of alcohol problems. And the men, again, are diminished still further, but the women actually still show some elevation in 12 plus. This is the only significant result with maximum that remains after controlling. So basically, summarize, fewer American Indians, Alaskan Natives were 12-month drinkers, it's quite striking that the levels of abstention are quite large. We know that among the American Indians, there are actually more former drinkers in this group. And we've done some subsequent analyses, and we're planning to continue those, where it's very clear that a good number of the people who are abstainers in the 12-month basis are actually former drinkers and probably former heavy drinkers. The elevations are there descriptively, but when you include the sociodemographic variables, including the family picture, family of origin picture, most of the descriptive results actually fade away. And the only one that doesn't is the AIN women who are exceeding others in the 12 plus. So in terms of the issues of the maximum distribution, which was that figure that I showed you, it is significant overall. But again, when you add the social determinants, that too is reduced to non-significance. And so this is our first pooled analysis of AIAN groups. And there are few studies of this sort. A limitation is that it is self-identified, and I would argue that the results are mostly favoring the idea that social determinants have very much to do with some of these differences, and if we were to include stigma and some other factors, that perhaps would be even more. We have done some analyses with childhood sexual and physical trauma, and again, some of the diminishment happens. Actually, the women's result remains even in that case. But offsetting this on a population basis are the high levels of abstention. So from a population picture, rather than just drinkers, it's not quite so striking. We plan to do more work with a number of the other social determinants and drinking histories. We have a drinking history measure that goes back through the decades, and also looking at the former drinkers in this regard. And we think that, this is an important thing to look at, because I think a lot of the stereotyping of American Indians has attributed this to something other than the conditions prevailing, which are actually quite severely worse than they are for the majority population. So thanks to the co-authors, Deidre Patterson in particular, for many of the analyses, and Kate Carrick-Jaffe, who isn't here, Bill Kerr, who is here, and Cindy Ehlers at Scripps, David Gilder, who added a lot. And just a plug for AP17, which is coming up at the bottom, and please contact me if you want further information.